Hey, if you're listening to this, you are listening to the free feed. Make sure you go sign up at the Patreon because we have some... I don't want to oversell it, but I think the Joss Whedon Boba Fett discussion on the bonus episode this week is... I don't know. People seem to really like it. So you'll never hear that here on this feed. If you want to be able to listen to it, you got to go sign up. Subbeacon.com for the Patreon. This week's episode here is about Encanto. So again, we're talking about things that are a little old, but a pretty good discussion. Make sure you sign up in time for this week's episodes, because we're going to be talking about Peacemaker, which I think we all kind of loved. It's on HBO Max. Still running, so you know, maybe the back half of the series will be bad, but the first four episodes, pretty good so far. And I think you're gonna enjoy this show. Go sign up, subbeacon.com, little as a dollar a month. You will not regret it.
I'm not super strong like Luisa.
The donkey's got out again.
On it! Or effortlessly perfect like Señorita Perfecta Isabella. But Mama, why am I the only one that didn't get a gift?
You're just as special as anyone else in this family.
You just healed my hand with an arepa con queso.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Lass and Sonny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what is going on?
Victorino, do you have contact lenses anywhere that you could possibly use?
Yes, but they haven't been upgraded, so the grading on them is when my eyesight was better. If I put them on now, everything would probably be blurry, because I'm as blind as a bat. Why do you ask?
Okay, because I'm coming over to your house.
Oh.
And I'm bringing the Oculus.
Oh! So here's what they, you know, my eye doctor, who I haven't seen in like 4 years, said, because of the progressive lens situation that I have, that the way out of this, and I'm not getting that surgery, is apparently one eye has to be nearsighted and the other one is farsighted lens. And it creates, and together that creates, that's the result. You get this progressive, you know, compromise. But of course he said, you know, initially you'll feel disoriented and nauseous. But other than that, so I tried it.
Sounds
it
awesome.
Did not work.
I'm coming over. I finally fired it up to do some of the video games that the kids play. And the
you're gonna have to take pictures.
Darth Vader virtual reality game. Victorino, you
terrifying.
Can laugh at me all you want.
It's good.
I am coming over.
No, I believe it. I believe it.
We're going down to your basement, the wood paneling, and we're going to have ourselves a good old time.
Yeah, so, but I'm going to have this thing in my head, and I'm be like, what, is that your lightsaber? That's what I'm going to say.
Wait, what's behind me?
Now, it's awfully hot.
It's so great.
All right,
great.
Now open your mouth.
Another one.
Was that funny?
Yeah, no, don't. Just keep moving. Listen, another one is a World War One Flying Aces game
where you're in a
biplane.
Ooh, I can be like the Red Baron. Not that I would choose that side, I'm just saying.
Well, I believe you can choose to play as either the fellow in the Sopwith Camel or the fellow in the Fokker.
Yeah, hey,
it's really up to you.
Wow.
Fokker, I don't even know her. And I am Victorino
von Richthofen.
When can we make this happen?
We'll pick a weekend and you'll
can we pick a Saturday afternoon that I can come over and we can have a little bit of Oculus time, because you're gonna love it.
I'm so scared.
Your kids are gonna love it.
If I get an Oculus, can we play against each other across the country?
Yes.
Does
we
it work
can.
Over the internet?
Yes. I am actually this close to buying each of you Oculi and sending them to you. The only reason I won't do it is because I am 100% confident that Vic will need me to set his up anyway.
Oh, there's no question about that. Number one,
Vic won't be able to set it up.
Well, we were just discussing Vic's headphone situation.
Yes,
over there.
I don't use headphones because they don't fit on my computer.
Because there's a again, there's just an
attachment.
You know what?
I'm going to take a look at that.
Or again,
so
if you go to Amazon.com,
yeah.
the Amazon.com,
yeah.
they have for $1.50 yeah. an adapter you that you plug what? the big one in, and you get them yes, a little one.
We had one in our office.
Little.
And
it's a little one like this.
In Dublin. It's in Dublin. We had one in our office. You remember? I'm just going to look for that one.
I'm telling you,
it's you can literally right. fix it right now. If you bring it, if you go and get it, mm-hmm. and we'll do mm-hmm. it on the bonus yeah. episode.
None of this is important. What's important is that it, you
find
are,
out on the bonus episode.
You've
by
got your lightsaber
You'll never
going.
Know. Okay,
and okay, so the training droids, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, that spin mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. that on the Millennium Falcon mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. Obi-Wan is like just release yeah. so use those things were everywhere. You gotta just stop. There was a moment when I could swear that I could smell burning metal from where I
from
had
the
to,
Oculus,
and I said to Flash, I said, "Is something burning?" He said, "No," and I think what happened was my mind
psychosomatic
was so fooled by the total immersion that my olfactory senses were just filling in the gaps yeah. with what they believed I should have been smelling.
Question.
It's like you're there, man.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you have, does the Oculus come with like a little stick or something that you hold while doing, or does it just like, two of these.
You see these guys? Okay. So you two handhold things, and here's what's cool. You see this big ring here? That ring is somehow a sensor that knows how your thumb is moving. So even if you're not pushing any buttons, It
senses it. It's alien
it is
technology.
Magic. It's magic.
Once I get my contact lens situation squared away, because I really I can't wear glasses with it.
Well, no. So there is an adapter for it, a spacer for people who wear glasses. So I'm a little bit. Is that really going to work? But I'm going to bring it over. I just ordered myself the larger head strap, and I got it just for you. So that when I come over to your house, we will know.
I don't think it was tested.
It's called the Magnum. It's called the Magnum head strap.
Yes, in many ways.
And so I got that so that you will be comfortable and you won't be ashamed. You won't feel self-conscious about it. And I am Scout's honor.
By wearing the Magnum.
I bought this so that when I come over to your house in a week and we go downstairs to play video games together, you will be able to, without just be like, okay, great, this fits. Let's go.
With the glasses.
Yeah. Well, just with the set over your,
yes,
you know, thing. Your planetoid size.
Yes,
head.
I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Sonny, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I'm kind of sad tonight.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad. I don't know if you guys saw the news.
Yeah, I did.
But Terry Teachout died.
Yeah, that was very unexpected.
Unexpected. I mean, he's 65. It's not like he was, you know, a young man, but he certainly wasn't an old man. And like, the weird thing about it to me is I don't really know what to say other than like, he was a good writer.
He knew a lot.
He was a good artist. He was an actual artist. He was a playwright and a musician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, musician. Yeah.
And he was just like theater. He was just like a good, friendly person
mm-hmm.
in a venue that good friendliness is mm-hmm. often not valued.
That's right.
Twitter.com, which is how lots of people knew him. But he's one of the most important conservative cultural critics.
Yeah.
Currently working
yeah.
or was mm-hmm. currently working. You know, he had a monthly column at Commentary for like 25 years.
Contributed more than any other person to Commentary.
I saw that in J-Pod's Remembrance. Yeah. You know, he was a theater critic at the Wall Street Journal. He wrote, I mean, just endlessly
yeah.
prolific.
Yeah.
And always, again, very nice,
mm-hmm.
very smart, good writer. And from you know, I met him like two times mm-hmm. in my life, but like from all I could tell, he was very decent and like pleasant guy. And
yeah.
it's just one of these random things that like was not expecting him to die. So like I'm bummed out. This is gonna be a bummer of a show for me.
But you should have been for last week's episode.
Sorry,
but I was in the middle of emailing with him back and forth over book review ideas, And so I just spoke to him a couple days ago, or emailed with him, because I had a list and different things and other books that he might be interested in. He actually mentioned to me that he owed Pod that Buster Keaton review that he didn't finish. And then all of a sudden, I heard about it today, and that was crazy. So it is very, very weird. And yeah, it's very sad.
Great. Thanks for starting the show out that way.
Yeah.
How are you, Vic?
Well,
Vic, how was your weekend?
Oh, I tell you, it was terrible. So as part of a Christmas present to my son, Kate thought it would be great to have him take a skeet, a clay pigeon shooting thing out in Manassas. Because he's good at this. Right? He's good at this thing. So, I mean, like, he can knock targets like 100 yards away. So he's very good. He did, like, they do this NRA course, and he hit like 19 out of 20 of the things. I did not get a chance to do it. I'm sure I would have been just as good. So we go to this thing. It's a shotgun safety class. That's what you want to do first, you know, the whole thing. And this was really interesting because I've never fired a shotgun before. And, you know, from the movies, and everyone says, oh, you know, you're going to get the recoil and you're going to get the bruised shoulder and the whole thing. So I was expecting this big thing. First of all, it's not pump action. I was kind of expecting, like, you know, in the movies. You know,
these are double barrels.
These are double barrels. So these are double barrels. They are heavy. But
they are.
You know, you load two shells in them.
Don't aim. The key with pigeons is you're guiding, not aiming.
It was crazy. This is why. Okay, so the recoil. First of all, the thing about the recoil was nothing. At least for me, with you know my beefiness, I was able to handle that. It was nothing. I could do it like
one hand. The amount of counterweight from the head weight, nothing, on the right. rest of your
exactly. Yeah. Yes,
that just holds everything else down.
Well, if you shoot a shotgun correctly. If you brace it against your body and you aren't
and you're leaning forward,
you don't have it like on your eye.
Although they have you for skeet shooting and such, you're supposed to press the stock against your cheek. You know, it's really up there. It's not what I expected.
That's how you see.
Yeah, it's not what I expect. Like if you were
you're
firing
not Elliot
rifle,
Ness.
No, right.
This isn't the Untouchables. Right, where it's down at your waist.
I was thinking from the hip. But the other thing is, if it's not
whatever.
And not as a rifle, where you don't put it like you know, if you have a rifle with a scope, you're not going to press it up against you, get the black eye. So anyway, there's six people in this course, right? It's half and has like me, my son, some other guy, and then there's a mother daughter, and then this other girl. Of the six.
Are you at the Manassas Gun Gun and Field Club?
A Bull Run.
Why didn't you stop at my place? You drove past my house.
You're kidding me. I figure
you couldn't come in and play the Oculus.
I picture you south, and I imagine we're out west. Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, we the six of us, I was the only one to hit nothing. It was
you were
awful.
Aiming.
Because I was aiming. Well, and I'm, you know what? I'm so used to being at a gun range where you're supposed to be very still, you know? And this one, you're moving. You're moving. And the guy's telling me, move the gun. I'm not moving. I can't move. And all I'm thinking about are all the other people behind me in silence. Because everyone who's never handled a gun before, they're knocking clay pigeons and everyone's clapping for everybody. The mom, the little mom, you know, who is like, you know, she's knocking them down. This woman, this girl who is...
How old was she, Vic?
I'm going to guess she's in her 20s. She looked like Scarlett Johansson. I kid you not. Like, I kept on staring at her. Probably why I was missing the clay pigeons. From the profile, like, she had these piercing blue eyes. And the nose, everything was bad. Like, to the point where you actually stopped. And you had to say, that cannot be Scarlett Johansson. There's no way Scarlett Johansson here is at the Bull Run Shooting Center. And yet... She looked like her. It was so freaky.
Maybe she was training for a movie.
And wanted to do it incognito. And the jeans were
did
like...
Did she do the hair
flip? Yes, she did the hair thing. No, she was wearing this hat and everything. She had blonde hair. And these jeans... I'm sorry. It was crazy. And so she's up there. I went after her.
What about the jeans? What about... I'm sorry. You started...
On. They were painted on. And so, you know, he's adjusting her stance. And I'm just like this thing. And then she gets done. And the guy said, oh, did you bring your own shotgun? I go, what? Oh, no, I thought, I see it. No, I didn't. I'm just going to borrow. Oh, okay.
That's just my backup piece.
I got so nervous. So that threw me off. It was horrible, is all I'm going to say. And
I did not know this existed until some Midwestern friends took me to do it. So I was taken out to go skeet shooting.
Yeah. Okay.
Or I guess trap shooting, not skeet, right? Which is the one where they bounce, not the one that where they bounce along the ground, but the one where they go like the frisbees.
Yes, that's like clay pigeons, I guess.
It's basically redneck mini golf. Because what you do is you go to this place, and it's a range, and it's a gigantic circle. And you walk around the circle, clockwise or counterclockwise, and you come to a station, and you've got, like, there's a setup with the things, and you all shoot, you write down your scores.
There's a button, and, you know, you pull, and then...
Right. So you shoot, and that's, like, hole number one, and then you walk to the next one. And it took, like, it took 2 hours, and we got a nice long walk in while we were doing it, and it was fun, and we added up our scores, and it was totally indistinguishable from the experience of mini golf.
That's funny.
And I thought, this is a lot of fun. I could see why people do this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not me. I was horrible, you know, and I just totally missed the mark. Speaking of shooting blanks, over the weekend, the 355 came in third place with $4.6 million behind Sing 2 with 11.6. It's just racketed up. And once again, perched atop the box office was Spider-Man No Way Home with $32.6 million. Box office thoughts. Somebody call 911 on the 355. Sonny.
I have some
411?
Thoughts.
JVL.
Hold on. I have some thoughts because Sonny would never brag about himself like this, and you don't listen to podcasts, Victorino.
It's true.
But while Sonny was interviewing Christopher McKenna, one of the two co-writers of the highest grossing movie in the last 3 years.
Great guy.
He told a story about being on set down in the dungeon, the crypt, and Alfred Molina saying to him, "Hey, I heard you interviewed on that podcast, The Bulwark. That was great."
Real, that's right.
True story. Alfred Molina listening to Sonny's show. How Alfred great Molina. Is that?
By the way, that was a pretty good Alfred Molina voice, by the way. I don't know if you realize
Thank
that.
You.
It was pretty
Thank
good.
You. Interesting box office fact that I learned this week. I had never realized this, but the original Sing is the highest grossing movie of all time, never to hit number one at the box office. It grossed like $290 million domestically, never got to number one.
$290 million?
It made an insane amount of money, $270 million, something like that. But like just shy of $300 million.
So weird.
Never got to number one at the box office. Very interesting. This is not going to do that. Sing 2 is not going to do that. It would have to. It's already on premium video on demand. People can watch it at home. So I assume the box office is going to come down a bit in the next few weeks here. I mean, look, Spider-Man is still huge. It will not be the number one highest grossing film next weekend. Scream will, I would be willing to bet, dethrone it. But it is. I mean, it really is putting up crazy, crazy numbers. And I just wanted, there's a little tidbit that I wrote down. So in its fourth week, it grossed about $8,000 per screen in its fourth weekend. The previous best per screen average before that, was, you have to go all the way back to Ghostbusters Afterlife, November 19th to the 21st, which grossed about $10,000 per screen. There were 13 new wide releases that have come out since then Spider-Man No Way Home was higher than in its fourth weekend than those movies were in their first weekends. So, I mean, like, it's this movie has done very, very good business. But, like, really, everything else is just doing very bad business.
Where is it at right now domestically, Sonny?
I would have to check. I don't know.
Okay. Never mind.
Off the top of my
head.
But it was right. Last I saw it was, like, around 670, something like that, 675. So it'll pass $700 million sometime in the next few days here, which will put it past Black Panther for fourth highest grossing of all time domestically.
$675 as of right now. Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it's doing huge, huge business. It's a big movie.
With Sing,
so everyone wants to go see
With Sing 2, you said it was the second highest grossing movie that has not hit, that never hit number one. What's the biggest movie? Do you know what the biggest movie was that made the most money without being number one?
Well, Sing. Sing is the highest grossing film of all time.
The highest.
No. Sing is the highest grossing film of all time.
Do you remember who was number two on that list?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I can't remember.
That's very interesting.
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
It's at Box Office Mojo. Okay. Maybe I'll look it up.
I remember something about Mary.
Yes, I was going to say something about Mary.
Except that it hit number one.
Finally.
But it hit number one in like its 11th week of release or something.
Yeah, when it was like, there was nothing else.
Which was its own weird record. Right. It was the longest, the deepest into a release that a movie had ever gotten to number one.
Was it, did it come out like, I don't know, the same time as Saving Private Ryan or something like that? Is that what happened?
You and I saw those two movies on the same day.
Oh, no, you did. You did because you told me about it.
We went together to see Saving Private Ryan, which was intense. But then you didn't see Something About Mary that night with me.
Yeah, that's right.
So you did a double header of Saving Private Ryan and then Cleanse the Palate with Something About Mary.
Well, these were critic screenings.
Yeah,
so they were both,
right.
You know, like the Allied screenings.
Was it at the MPAA?
No, they were both at... No, Saving Private Ryan was at Mazza Gallery, and
is that right?
The other one, the other Something About Mary was at the Cineplex Odeon on Wisconsin.
No longer there, by the old Roy Rogers.
Also,
yes, the old Rogers, the old McDonald's flagship. It's gone. That's all gone. Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. Well,
did you guys ever go to the DuPont, like the DuPont Five?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It was like underground.
Yes. You know, it's right next to my favorite restaurant. Never mind. Forget it. I'm not even going to bother telling the joke.
Yeah, where are you going with this one, Vic? We're all thinking it.
I didn't mean to say. I ruined the joke. I was going to say my favorite bar, the Manhole. I was just going to, you know, say.
Oh. Yeah,
no, well, I had Matt Labash come to me one day when I was a kid, a child, and came to me on a Friday afternoon at work, mm-hmm. at our office, our place of business. Mm-hmm. And he said, there are only two periods of your life. There's before and after you've seen the Buena Vista Social Club. Let's go. Let's go see it right now. And I was like, what? And he's like, come on. Don't. I was like, I have work. I mean, he's like, no, this is a magazine. So you don't have to roll work. Come on.
This is a magazine. There's no work.
That's true. That's actually true.
Matt Labash took me and bought my ticket to see the Buena Vista Social Club at that little tiny, on a screen which is probably not much larger than my current television.
Those theaters.
You know what I saw there?
The crappiest little theaters in the world.
What did you say? The what theater?
The crappiest little theater. I'm talking about the DuPont Five or whatever.
You know what I saw there? I saw Lost in Translation there.
I saw Clerks 2 there.
It's the only theater that was the size of your room.
It was the only theater that was playing Clerks 2 in Washington, D.C. when it came out. It was like the DuPont AMC 5 or Regal 5 or whatever that was.
I assume that theater is now gone.
Yeah. I'm not kidding when I say that the screen that we watched on was probably 4 feet wide.
Yeah,
like it was incredibly small.
There's a theater in DC, the West End, the Landmark West End, where the screens are really not much bigger than that. It's a very small exhibition space, and the chairs are like, I think they've replaced the chairs since I have been there last, but they were almost like folding chairs. Frankly,
there was another theater I remember in DuPont where to watch the film you had to look through a little hole. Like this,
but then
it was almost like it was 3D. I mean, it was right like there. You couldn't even believe it. It was coming right at you.
You have to put your eye there, but not that eye. This is terrible. This is terrible. What kind of a show is this? Okay, very interesting. We're actually a change of pace here. Something very family friendly instead, thank goodness. And compared with last week's episode, this is a very bright and cheery family movie. Also now streaming, and this
it's on Disney Plus.
We are talking this week about Encanto. So
Encanto,
muy bien, has been around for some time. I forget when it actually came out, Sonny. When was that? Or JVL? When was it? It came out. Okay,
six Bond. Years ago. Right.
No, it did okay, didn't it? I would mention it in box office. I would give mention
like
it in
90
box.
To, yeah. I mean, it was. It didn't do huge numbers. No.
Initially, it's on Disney Plus. Initially, I could not find it because I was looking in Disney Plus in the Pixar category.
No, this
you
is
know,
Disney,
and it, but they're
Disney
basically Disney. The same, right? I mean, what is
I don't
what's
understand.
Going
no,
on
I,
here?
So, no, they're not. So here's
Pixar is
here's,
trash. Disney
can,
Plus.
We can,
wow.
Disney can discuss this. We can discuss this in a second, but I want to clarify something very, very quickly.
Yes, Sonny.
Because I hear things like this from people all the time, mm-hmm. that they go to an app mm-hmm. and they start browsing yeah. and they can't find a thing. Uh-huh. And I want to know who you people are who don't just go to the little search
and
box types,
no.
and start typing
no.
in the goddamn
now,
name of the movie.
I expect it to come up.
I hear this all the time from people.
I'm so glad it's not just me.
Complaining about like, yeah. oh, I can't find this thing
I
on HBO Max.
You know why? I'll tell you why,
Sonny. I was browsing
yeah.
and I was
you know
scrolling
why?
And I couldn't find it. Just, you know the name
no.
of the movie.
No.
Just type it
no.
in the search bar.
I hate going up and down like a maze game. Okay. And by the way, if you go all the way across the letters and you go further across, it doesn't reset. It just goes on to the main screen. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm like, well, this is a big movie, so it's going to be the first thing that pops up when I hit Pixar, and it was. I'm like, well, okay, it's got to be the second thing. And then I'm like, now I really want to know, did they bury this movie? This is really interesting. What's going on? And then I realized, oh, it's not Pixar. That's so, my answer to you.
All
you
have to
know?
Do is put in the first, no, you no, put in an no. E.
I want to see
and
it up there.
And it like resets and it shows what the things are. All of the apps do this.
No,
they all do this.
I expect them to showcase it.
Okay, so Sonny,
disappointed
Roku,
didn't.
As part of their business model, is that they are collecting every single remote control press that you make. Mm-hmm. And so they know, do you go up, down, left, right, et cetera, et cetera. And as part of that, I assume that means that they know exactly how people navigate through the apps on mm-hmm. streaming. And the fact that every single app I know of for streaming places the search way far away, tucked. It's just like you. It's the little magnifying
yes.
glass in a
yes,
square.
Yes, it's the magnifying glass.
And it is
why
it is given like 50 pixels by 50 pixels of real estate
but
on your
giant.
I know
real
what
estate.
JVL.
It's
I know
right
what
there.
JVL's
because
getting at. I know
what
I'm
getting
at
is, and that's because people don't use the search. They
well,
browse.
That, well, I,
this
no,
is
I
what
agree.
They do.
I understand this, but it baffles me. It literally confuses me.
People,
because when I,
people are
I
sheep,
people,
Sonny.
No,
they're
I
sheep.
Hear people, around.
I hear people complain mm-hmm. about not being able to find things on an app, and I'm just like, are you fuckers illiterate? Are you? Can you? Do you not know how to spell things?
I have come to this fine establishment to watch Red Notice. Where's Red Notice?
What is that? And I'm going to look around.
Oh, look, Hell's Kitchen. It should be. I hear that Hell's Kitchen is a funny show. I shall watch that.
It's the goldfish. It's goldfish brain.
That's
we're
what
all.
It is.
It's just people. They see a thing. They're like, oh yeah, I'll watch that. I guess.
They're
anyway,
4 minutes
like
into
Vic
Hell's
Madden.
Kitchen, and they don't
well,
like it,
you
so they press
what?
Pause.
Why
and then underneath
it,
there's Floor is Lava, and they say, Floor is Lava. What is
why
that?
Don't, why don't they
I'll
just,
try that?
Why don't they just put it in the Pixar? It's close
it's
enough.
Not a pic- well, first of all, it's not a Pixar. But this is the whole problem with your generation, Vic.
Is we just because we're not going to search. I search enough. But the
Brazzers.
B R A Z not in here. It's not in here. Search has always let me down. I always feel it's like a conspiracy. Every time I want, I'll see a movie, and then every time I look for it, it's then gone. And then I'll have to pay for the movie. And as soon as I pay for the movie, next week, hey, here's something that's new and free. They know they do this on purpose. They do it on
they
purpose.
They do. Specifically, they watch what you yes. search, and they're like,
and
oh,
they
Vic is
now
searching
it's like,
for...
Oh, for everything's free after I watch it, after I pay for it. Oh,
Vic is searching for Snow Bunnies 2.
Bunnies 2.
The Fuzzy Bras Revenge. We're going to keep that off. We're going to keep that off until next week.
Embrace,
we're going to bring
that's what they're waiting for.
Right
they're
to
waiting
Netflix.
For me to actually pay to see Embrace of the Vampire Part 2. And then it's free. Really? How dare you? You were saying.
Well,
so,
you got to finish the trilogy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you want to leave it.
No,
you leave
I got to see how it's going, so to speak. JVL, you're down on Pixar. Pixar was the why. So now you're down
Pixar
on it.
Pixar had
now.
One of the great runs in the history of movie studios.
Yes.
And I think that for. I have not done like an actual chronology of this. But I think at least for the last 5 years, maybe longer, they have resorted to nothing but emotional manipulation and tear-jerking in telling, not always, there are some exceptions, but basically the same kind of story over and over,
it's
which is,
old, stale.
Parents, oh, parents, we're going to get you. Being parenthood is very poignant. Being a parent is poignant, makes you vulnerable.
Well, those are that's just the Toy Story movies. That's what you're talking
and
about.
And the Monsters, Inc. movies.
Up.
Finding Nemo.
The
Up movies.
It's
and
not really
the Finding
Up
Nemo
or
movies.
Inside
the opening's
Out.
Very sad. I didn't see Inside Out. That's what surprised
and
me.
And Inside Out. That's exactly
so
anyway.
I go to Disney Plus, then I watch it, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's an unusual opening. For, oh, wait a minute. It's not. So, like, because they acquired Pixar, so they must have, like, I wonder how they feel about each other.
They got John Lasseter. That's what it, I mean, when yeah, Disney man. Bought Pixar, what they were really buying was John Lasseter and Brad Bird.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. And, you know, once they had them in house, that's the secret sauce. It wasn't like Pixar had some, something like a magic box or something.
Right.
And once you can have John Lasseter executive producing a bunch of Disney animated movies, all of a sudden, like magic, the Disney animated slate got really sophisticated and much better.
Yeah.
Starting with Tangled and then really kicking in with Frozen.
That's right.
Then they had to push him out.
He just liked hugging people, Sonny. What's wrong with hugs?
He's a hugger.
All right, who wants to give a big boy review of Encanto?
Encanto!
Sonny. I don't know, Vic. Sonny, before you do this, I defy Vic to tell us what happens in the movie.
You wait till the quadrant. You're going to get it, Sonny.
Encanto is the touching story of a wealthy family deep in the jungles of Colombia that uses a magical white substance to give themselves superpowers like amazing strength and magical visions.
Yayo. It's called Yayo, Sonny.
It's I was going to do a whole Gene bit with jokes like, you know, Bruno, look out for his little friends, the rats, and that sort of thing. You know, Mama makes recipes that heals people because she has a good idea of what fixes people. She knows candy. I don't know. I couldn't, but I didn't have enough time to do it. So you got a glimpse of it there. Encanto is the animated story of a family of refugees fleeing a burning city that settles in the mountains of Colombia, and they get a magic candle for some reason. It's Colombia. It is Colombia. It's set in Colombia. That's where it is.
Okay.
They get a magic candle for some reason. I wasn't 100% clear on that. The magic candle opens up doors in their magic house, and when the children walk through them, they get magical powers, except for poor Mirabelle, who did not get magical powers, but everybody else does. And Mirabelle has to learn that her magic power is healing the family. By being normal. That's how she does it. The movie is totally fine. It has the same weird problem that Moana has, which is that there's no actual villain, really. There's no villain in this movie. It's just like people, you know,
the villain is life.
I have a feeling I know where JBL's
Moana, it was the giant crab by Jermaine.
No, but it wasn't. But,
and then,
like,
and of course,
not,
the volcano.
He's not really the villain. He's
the
just like he's
Moana
just,
is
no,
about
but,
rape. It's
but
Fatiti,
Nefertiti or whatever in Moana
Nefertiti.
Is just like she's just angry because
because
Maui stole her fucking
right.
rock,
that's
her
right.
green
so
rock
a,
or whatever.
But there's a big battle. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, Encanto is fine. It has a very, very good soundtrack by Lin-Manuel Miranda. We are in this weird moment in the culture where lots of people want to talk about how terrible Lin-Manuel Miranda is because Hamilton is terrible. And it is pretty annoying.
I hear
and
he's a member of the Proud Boys.
That's what I hear as well. But he churns out these bangers. These bangers of soundtracks for Disney movies, like again Moana and this, people seem to like In the Heights. I was as you guys remember, kind of about it. We've been listening to this in the car a lot because the kids are very into Encanto. Encanto a lot. But we have been listening to Surface Pressure and what's the opening song. The
Family Madrigal.
We are the Family Madrigal.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Anyway, anyway, good. It's got a good soundtrack. Kids love it. The movie itself again is totally fine. I wouldn't say I found it compelling. Just from a story. telling perspective. It's fine. It's okay. About this crazy Colombian drug cartel in the middle of the mountains, you know, lording their power over everybody else. It's fine.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, I mean, you know, there's not much to. Yeah. JVL.
I got to know the quadrants.
Oh, okay.
How does this? Because I
not
think.
Good.
Yeah. Let me guess. Mm-hmm. I guess that this ends up as a D plus.
Oh, you're so close.
Total D plus, because I think this might be one of the lowest scoring quadrant movies except for the length.
Well, it is saved by length. This is pretty good. It's a C plus, but I'll explain why. Okay, so the quadrants for Encanto. The plot is a D. I didn't think there was a plot. Okay, I wrote this down. A girl has no powers except to point out her grandmother's over-demanding, and then that saves the house. Okay, duration is an A. I actually was kind of thinking it should be a little longer just because we're going to get to this big confrontation with something, a big battle. I don't know, maybe the people come back. I assume they were like El Guapo and the gang from Three Amigos. That's who they were, right, with the swords and the horses.
No, there's no big conflict at the end of this movie.
Vends.
It's just kind of like, oh,
okay, so
right,
that means action and
done.
Violence gets a C. Sex.
There is a big conflict, Sonny. It's just
we'll get up. Wait. Okay.
With life
and sex nudity. I give it an NA because this is a cartoon. Okay, let's keep this thing clean. Although you could replace that quadrant with maybe music, and then music was quite nice. But in the end, I gave that a C plus. So that's that again. It was fine. I watched it with my daughter. She liked it. You know,
kids like
the music.
Kids love
nice,
it. It's a very good.
But
it's a very good animated
not
kids
sure
movie.
What the takeaway is, Jonathan clearly knows what the takeaway
Jonathan
is.
Jonathan has a lot of thoughts on this.
And
JVL.
We're now ready.
So I am going to predict that Encanto is going to become an absolute sleeper classic, and it is going to have been basically $92 million box office, which is very, very low for a kids movie in pandemic time. I think that people are going to find this movie on Disney Plus, and they're going to fall in love with it, and they're going to fall in love with the soundtrack over time. And
well, it's already number one.
Part of the reason is because both the film and the music really reward repeated listening and repeated viewing. I am shocked that anybody in America saw this movie by choice, because the trailers were terrible.
I remember the
trailers don't even tell you what the story is. It's like there's a superpowered family and one member of the family doesn't have powers. That was the trailer.
I figured and she'd get a big power at the end.
The truth of the movie is that the movie's more boring than that. The movie is a Neil Simon play with songs in it. It's a story about family trauma echoing through the generations, but with songs. And the fact that this was able to be turned into something which was really clever and entertaining, but then most importantly, I think very deeply touching. And I just think it's going to get to people. And I predicted when I said to you guys, I want to talk about this. And I said, and both of you guys will hate it and won't understand it because it's about family trauma. That's what this is about. It is Encanto is about how finding your place in the world is hard. And it is hard because your place in the world is influenced not just by you and the choices you make, but what happened for generations before you. And Encanto is the story of a woman who goes fleeing a very bad situation. We don't know what it is, but it's unimportant. This is why immigrants always flee bad situations, right? So the Quakers coming to America. This is the Vietnamese leaving Vietnam coming here. The Jews coming here, you know, as they were fleeing Europe. It's Mexicans and South Americans fleeing bad things down South America. And when people do that, that is trauma. And it means something bad was happening, and the immigrant experience is just one form of trauma, right? There's, you know, having a family member who is an alcoholic, divorce, death, sickness, financial ruin, right? And what people I think don't realize is, I gotta be careful here because I don't think they, I have a friend who is going through an incredibly horrible divorce right now. A nightmare divorce. Three kids. The husband has, it turns out, a number of kids by other women on the side. There's just one of these that's awful. But when you look at this situation, what you have to understand is this isn't just a thing that's happening now. This is a thing that these kids are going to be grappling with for the next 40 years. Mm-hmm. And then their kids will grapple with it because of the ways in which it affected their parents, right? And this is it points to a very deep truth, which I actually hadn't considered until somebody suggested this to me like a year ago. Because I was talking about how I felt bad that my kids are getting very different parental experiences from me, because the things that I had to give, you know, the attention and energy that I had to give for one kid, by the time you get to kid four, like I just, you know, all my I have all these other things I have to do too, like, you know, and my friend said to me, look, every child grows up in a different family. You know, like the you have a kid, that kid gets one version of his parents. The next kid gets a very different version, right? You know, and there is a like a Heisenberg uncertainty principle to family life, which is that any time you alter it or touch it in a way by, you know, taking something away or adding something to it, it changes everything. And some of those changes are good. Some of those are bad. And the central metaphor of Encanto, I'm sorry, I realize I'm monologuing at you guys. The central metaphor of Encanto, which is these powers, these miracles, is a little bit on the nose once you realize what the story is telling you. And what the story is telling you is that the miracle is that the family is alive. That's the miracle. The miracle is that they made it. And you know what, Mirabelle doesn't have any powers, but what she does is she winds up being the person who sits with the grandmother and gets the grandmother to realize that the choices she has made have been, you know, understandably in many ways related to the terrible trauma she went through as a young woman. And there, you know, I thought a lot about Sonny. I'm sure that you've talked about this during RCIA, the prodigal son. Victorino, I don't know about you, but I always
which character
fucking...
is the oh yeah, I know. The prodigal son, I know you were so pissed off
because
the other he worked, the son who did everything he was told, and then the father says, you know, everything mine is yours. Everything is yours. You shouldn't there's no reason why you should be upset that your other son who led this profligate life or whatever comes back and we get to, you know, have a big celebration. You shouldn't feel bad about that.
Right. See, like, look, you've been working real hard, and he was having himself some whores with the money he took from us, and you know, and I always thought to myself, like, what sort of world is this father living in that he thinks no harm, no foul? Because this other guy took half.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It isn't like he just left on his own. It is he took half of the resources anyway. So I, you know, I spent 40 years of my life hating this, you know, one Sunday a year when that was the gospel reading. And what finally dawned on me, and maybe this is just my own reading, was that the reason this has nothing to do with the sons. It's about resurrection. It's the fact that the son has come back from the dead. Mm-hmm. And that is why he is slaughtering the fatted calf. And that's, again, is the miracle of life, the miracle that the family is alive. And that is at the heart of Encanto. The miracle is that they made it. They got out of that place and they are there together. And learning to appreciate that is the miracle is the healthy way to grow and heal. It's a beautiful, because look, God knows. I mean, telling kids like, well, you know, you got to be careful of the sea witch because the sea witch will steal your voice. And that's fine, right? And, you know, or you got to slay the dragon. These are interesting metaphors for life. But the truth is that life is hard enough. It's hard enough without dragons, right? Finding your place in this world can be really, really difficult. And a movie like Encanto is speaking to, I think, very universal truths about life.
Now, Sonny.
Now, JVL, You say that the miracle is that the family is still alive. But in the movie, there's a candle that grants powers. That seems like an actual miracle.
This is what I'm saying. It is a heavy-handed metaphor.
And you walk through it and you become super strong and you have to shoulder all the burdens.
It is a heavy-handed metaphor, except that you don't know that it's a heavy-handed metaphor until the end.
One of the daughters is perfect. Another one can hear everything and has to keep all the secrets. Mm. Drives her crazy. Yeah. That seems like there's an actual literal miracle.
No.
And not this figurative.
It turns out a lot of these blessings are curses.
I think so. So can I tell you one reason why I think the movie may have really been hurt in theaters by... Yeah. And I think it's, aside from the terrible trailer, the music is heavily complex, really, really layered, often very fast.
Yeah.
And for instance, I don't know about you fellas, I ended the first viewing of the movie I would say 3/4 of the movie before I figured out most of the family relationships, which are supposedly established in the first number.
She has a father. She has a father, and it just never seemed clear to me he was the father.
Louisa, we finished watching it the first time, and I turned to Shannon and I said, so wait a minute. Whose kid is Louisa? Louisa is the super strong kid.
Oh, yes.
And Shannon said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, we know who...
Mirabelle's
sister. Well, now I know, right. I mean, yes. I've done it.
I know this because I've listened to the soundtrack like 10 times.
But this is...
The last 5 days.
Yeah,
so.
Like, the first number of this movie...
That's the parents and uncles.
...is supposed to establish all 12 characters. There are 12 characters with relations. And God love him. Lin-Manuel Miranda goes through this thing twice in the course of this number. And I still didn't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think some significant percentage of the audience, probably on first viewing, like in a theater.
Goes through it twice in like 4 minutes and 50 seconds or something like that. Goes through it twice. It's very fast.
Just walked out not quite knowing what was going on. And I don't know. This is why, again, I think once you can watch it for free on Disney Plus over and over again, people are going to just absolutely fall in love with it.
So what you're saying is it's the Under the Silver Lake of Disney movies.
That's so interesting because I believe I was drunk when I was watching Encanto, so that makes a lot of sense. No,
yeah,
just kidding.
I think
the songs are very, very good.
Yeah.
I think
the songs are great. He's very good.
Super catchy. The movie itself is also kind of interestingly animated in the way that like, for instance, the song The Surface Pressure, the way that song is animated is very I don't know what the word I'm looking for exactly is. It's very impressionistic. It's not realistic. It's not like, it is not tied to what is happening in the movie. It is like its own thing, its own little universe.
Yeah, I don't like that actually.
Oh, really? See, I did like that.
A thing that's Maui's number is like that in Moana, right? I mean, Maui finds himself in tapestries and, you know, like...
Oh, sure.
Suddenly, you know... And
you mean the rock, when the rock sings.
When the rock sings.
I love that song.
His number. So, but a lot
but
of
it's
those...
The, it's the tattoos on his body, though, right?
I don't know what it is, but I think he winds up...
And everything.
The point is, it takes you out of the actual scene where you are puts you in this Fantasia-like world. And I don't like that. And
catchy song.
And Kanto does that, I think, in most of the... songs, except for Bruno. Except for Bruno, because Bruno takes you back in time and shows you a bunch of scenes that actually happened.
John Leguizamo.
I did like that for what it's worth. It's an interestingly animated film. It just as a piece of actual storytelling, and maybe when I watch it 17 more times over the next
week.
6 months.
Next week,
I will come to appreciate the nuances of the storytelling more. But I like how it looked. I like how it was animated. I liked how it was voiced. You mentioned John Leguizamo, who is very good as Bruno.
It's very distinct.
Is very distinct to the point where I heard him.
That's what I thought.
And then I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Also, the very strong sister, her voice matches. It's really interesting. You could picture it. You know, I mean, her, she's a very strong voice. I'm just going to say it's a strong voice. But I guess I was watching it and I was like, well, I guess the problem is that the house is falling apart because of the grandmother. She's the problem. She's forcing the cracks. That's why everything is falling apart.
No, she's not the problem. She's
isn't that what the granddaughter says? She says it's you.
It is her, but it's not because she's been, it's because she's been carrying this burden of,
yes,
you know,
ever since
for a long time. Right?
Again, the problem with this movie is that it doesn't have a villain. It needs a prince, the villain, or somebody.
The villain in life is life.
Yeah, but what
you know, like we don't have Jafar chasing us down the street and locking us into mystery tombs.
You don't know. It depends where you live.
What we have are like alcoholic stepfathers and divorces and people who die or lose children and breaks the families apart. That's what we have. That's what this movie gets at.
Yeah. Okay. As for the prodigal son. My takeaway was always, well, when I get my half, I know how I'm spending it. I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to go to
Vegas,
Sapphire.
Baby.
I'm going to Sapphire. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts on Encanto other than
No, I mean, things here and there, but the point is, it's
and then I thought the lesson is that and they did all this stuff for the community, and in the end, the community returns the favor. Sort of, it takes a village or something.
Yeah, and I'm telling you.
Oh,
at the end,
you're telling me the employees of the drug factory.
Oh, is that what it was? I had no idea.
Out of the goodness of their hearts, honey.
Yeah, they were, they're just like, oh, thank God.
They just don't want Louisa to visit them at night.
Yeah.
I mean, break their legs. And,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like weird undertones and subcurrents
here.
What
they owe her.
Again, it's
what
all a metaphor for drugs. Yeah, JBL says it's a metaphor for families and broken traumas or whatever. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's just Scarface, but a cartoon.
Right. It's a metaphor for the yayo.
It's like the Fast and the Furious of the Disney animated movies.
It's all about family.
It's a movie about family.
They rebuilt the house so fast, though. I did you notice?
It's a magic house!
I don't know what the people themselves are magic. I said, how do they...
It's magic house!
Normal, non-magical people rebuilt that house like it was the Toll Brothers. Thank you.
I don't understand
that's a local joke.
Magical.
I don't know if anyone appreciates that one, but
I don't understand.
It's a Jersey. Jersey joke.
You blink your eye. Oh, there it is. It's told. The whole neighborhood's just been built suddenly. It's told.
I don't understand how the house was magical. Was it just running off white candle power?
It's a metaphor, Sonny. None of it is magical.
It's not a metaphor. It's literally there.
It's literally happening.
There's literally magic doors that they walk through. Like this is the drawing of the three.
I have a deeper
the Stephen King.
I have deeper thought and question, but I'm going to save that for an outtake. Unless you have an outtake, then I'll mention it now. Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. Do we have what's JVL? What are you drinking? It looks like red wine.
I am drinking Comet and Cupid. Cabernet Sauvignon,
which
is, I think, something my brother-in-law picked up.
Oh, very nice. Out of a stemless glass. It looked chilled, but I assume it's not.
No.
It was just the effect of the lens. Okay. Any other corrections or shout-outs, anything?
I got a shout-out.
What do you got?
Abigail Simon DM'd me to ask to say happy birthday to Matt Mandel. Her boyfriend is turning... some number of years.
Happy birthday, Matt Mandel.
25. 25.
Oh, that's
25.
A good one.
Hey, Matt.
That's 25. So, man, I wish I can go back to 25. Yes and no.
Good year, good age. Good
it
age.
Is.
But
it
anyway,
is.
Also, Matt, happy birthday.
Yeah, I was
happy
go
birthday.
Go
crush it, Matt.
say thanks to Abigail.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they?
This is better.
Eat and drink as much as you want without any...
No, this is better than 25.
Now I find myself on the floor, blacked out. It's not the same.
I don't know.
Go back to 25. Okay.
Yeah, being on the floor and blacked out at 25 is much different.
That never happened.
Sort of experience of being...
Well, no, I don't actually...
On the floor and blacked out.
I don't remember it at the time. I don't remember it. Okay. Great. And that is all the time we're giving to... we got a bonus episode coming up, so,
Different strokes.
For different folks. We'll rule the world. Okay. And are we talking about different or deferent strokes? There's two different movies, and they're both available on Amazon. Find out by subscribing. And that's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments. Tweet us at SunnyBunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We are there. Tell your friends. Until next time.
Victorino, before you take us home,
JV,
I have one thing I needed to get off my chest.
Go for it.
I woke up this morning and I checked in to make sure the world was still standing, as I always do. The top Google trending search auto-populated for me was Juilliard School rejects Axel Weber.
Oh, you know what? I saw this Axel thing and I just skipped over it. So what happened?
Who is Axel Weber?
So I don't often want to murder people. Okay, that's not true.
It's not true at all.
Stop lying.
What are you not wanting to murder people?
So you guys know that I am a real Juilliard nerd, right? Juilliard means something to me. In the way some people fetishize Harvard, I fetishize Juilliard. So
because you thought about going there.
I thought about going. I decided not to go to Juilliard after Juilliard said, no, thank you.
Juilliard.
Axel Weber is a TikTok star.
His
dream is to be an actor. And instead of signing up for the Carl Weathers stage fighting course for $2,000.
Yes.
He decided he was going to audition for Juilliard, and he auditioned, and now he says, this is by his own admission, that he thinks he's going to be a great actor, but he can't do accents. But for his audition, he had to do a Shakespeare monologue, and he was moved in the moment, and so he just tried to do a British accent.
No, you're kidding me.
He said, post-audition, that he thought it just didn't really work. But when he got his official rejection letter and then posted about it on TikTok.
Because that's what you do.
His millions and millions of TikTok followers flash mobbed Juilliard all over the social medias.
Oh my gosh.
With a trending hashtag, Justice for Axel, with these millions and millions of, I don't know, like fucking morons demanding that Juilliard take their beloved TikTok star,
because that's what's really going to convince them now. If they were on the
release
fence,
the Axel cut,
right?
I want them all dead. That's all.
Okay,
Victorino, please.
All the millions,
all the millions, yeah.
And
other than
yes,
that,
all of them.
Other than that,
show some respect to the big green Jay.
How are you going to feel when Juilliard decides to accept him?
That's 100% going to happen, right? Yeah. 100%
because,
that's going to happen.
Because then they'll be topical and everyone's going to be talking about them, and maybe you'll get money out of this. People give them money. Okay, so you were talking about in Encanto how hard it was to keep track of all the different siblings and everything. And it's big. There's like three. There's the mother, the aunt, the uncle, and then they have children. And it's hard to keep track of them.
And spouses.
And spouses and the cousins and the whole deal. And the superpowers. And it's sometimes hard for me to keep track of what is everybody's superpowers. And the littlest kid has the one who the animals, because he's Dr. Doolittle. Okay. What, if you could choose one of their powers, what would it be?
Ooh.
Victorino? You like that?
Well, I like that. You Victorino, like that? What are yeah. you? You're well, going to go with listening,
I,
aren't
I
you?
I wouldn't choose.
You like the
I
listening?
I wouldn't, and I wouldn't choose the weather thing because it only seems to be happening to her.
Yeah,
mostly.
Yeah,
it's healing you're through rained
food.
Upon.
You could heal your healing, gout with food.
Healing with more food. Yes. Okay.
Healing the food is the one I would
that
actually
is
pick.
Pretty good. That's my second choice. My first choice is I would have been the kid Camillo, and then you could turn into different people. And then I would turn into Emma Watson, and then I just never leave my room.
Oh, God. All right. Sure, it's fine.